May 27, 2020. It's a Wop from Pedro's show. Show happy Wednesday, last Wednesday of May. In fact, we're coming to that part of the month, of the year, the last days of May, the Blue Oyster Cult song, right, on the first album.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's about a Mota deal or some shit that goes bad. But I'll play that Saturday because it's not the last day of May, but it's the next to the last day. Anyway, you heard my guest there, huh? Well, we started the show with John Coltrane with Miles Davis playing in his band and Jimmy Cobb on the drum. Tao, I think he was the producer, right? And then Sack of Vomit from Midnight Bomber with Bombs at Midnight, which, yeah, my guest for this edition, Chris Rusk out of Knoxville. Welcome aboard, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thanks to Mike Baghetta for making the fucking connect. No, I mean, really, I've had a lot of Knoxville people on the show in the last, you know, since this... Quentin Quarantino. By the way, that brother Matt still love Grotto. Pleasure party, come on us out there. But I mean, it's incredible. You guys got quite a scene. I remember, you know, we had the man who actually does the Pilot Lamp. Jason.
Jason Boardman.
And, you know, I met that guy in the early 2000s. I think the club just opened. What happened was I played some place called Alley Cats or something. It was kind of square. John, mm-hmm. Not bad. And, you know, after the gig and stuff, I go out and say it was early. And I saw the thing pad down the street, blue lamp, pilot lamp. So,
or pilot light.
Pilot light. Yeah, yeah, pilot lamp.
No, actually.
Pilot light, I know what that's used. There's a fucking. And the Navy housing, when I came from Virginia to here, it's a little fire that's going on when the heater ain't on. So when you need it, right?
Right.
When that motherfucker blows out, the pad fills with gas. We were at the Little League field, the Seabees built for us. And we saw this motherfucking thing fly, you know, it's like a mile away, but over the center field fence. And then we heard the boom, because it blew the lid off, roof off. Yeah, fuck pilot lights. So pilot lamp, the pilot lamp. So I go in there and I tell them, look, when I come back to play here, and I think it was the next year, I want to play here, not fucking Alley Cats or whatever. There was a good.
I think it was Blue Cats.
Blue Cats, some shit like played. That. Yeah, I remember Alley Cats because there was a great Hollywood. Well, they're actually from Lomita, but they play. You know, I saw them play up in Hollywood and shit in the '70s. Alley Cats, yeah. So okay, Blue Cats. It was something like that, and it was. Oh, so you were at that gig? It was with my sister.
I saw you play at Pilot Light.
Okay, so it's a second gig then of these times because before it was that. That dude, that the other Blue dude's deli.
Yeah, Blue Cats. No, did not last.
I didn't play. Yeah, not. It was the first time for a while from that. You know, Larry Mullen, the guy who did the last 2 years of Stooges with filled in, and he's from Knoxville, and he went to California with the doorman. His name was Bonehead.
Mm-hmm.
What's this place called? It was two guys' name. It was a deli.
Oh, Vic and Bill's.
Vic and Bill's.
Yeah, that's where all the, that was like the scene in the 80s.
That's where I played, okay? And then I couldn't play in the whole 90s. Because there was no way, it was all Vol Town.
Yeah, the fort, I mean, I'm only 34.
Still is Vol Town.
So, I mean, I was...
Well, let's go back with your history. What's your earliest musical recollection? It probably ain't Blue Cats.
No. Well, I guess it depends on what you're saying. If you're talking about like a live show, or you're talking about
just music, a memory,
just music.
Man, I had a dude on the show.
Probably
get this.
Probably when
Chris,
I was like Chris.
Eight. Get this before you give me the answer.
Uh huh.
Not the last dude, but the dude before. Yeah, not the lady before. He gave me memories when he was like fucking three. Do you remember shit when you were three?
No.
Okay,
absolutely not.
I can't even remember what.
I have a hard time remembering most things.
Well, okay.
Whether it's
so that's speaker. Why there's it's not supposed to be a hard question, and there's really no wrong answer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead.
I'll say, I mean, when I was like eight, I loved MC Hammer, and
big
I
pants,
loved
big
that.
Pants.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Criss Cross. I wore my clothes backwards to school when I was in first grade. I was a very small, very white kid with really big clothes on backwards. That's kind of how I started. That was the beginning of my journey.
It was kind of a fashion thing. Not just audio, but there was a visual component.
I was a very cool 8-year-old.
They were out in Atlanta, right? Criss Cross.
Yeah. But no, I think like when I really got into music though was probably when I was 12 and I was getting into Nirvana and all that shit.
Well, what about the pad you grew up in? What town? Was it Knoxville?
Well, it was Gatlinburg.
Okay.
And then Knoxville.
Okay.
So when I was
I'm wondering about the pad you grew up in. Your parents or siblings? Were they players or listeners?
They were just partiers. They didn't play music, but you know, I grew up. I had young parents. They blasted music all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Because that can have quite an influence, you know, even though there's no instruments.
I mean, I heard a lot of B-52s and Talking Heads and shit. which was cool from my parents, but they, well,
what
I think
was the
it
first
was really
record? What was the first record you bought yourself? Was it Nirvana?
No, it was actually, I think it was Smashing Pumpkins was the first, record I bought, but.
And the first gig you went to?
Oh, man. I think I was 12 and it was Warped Tour or something.
Yeah, okay, so a lot of bands. 80
yeah,
bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Yeah, you know, I was. I was in marching band.
What'd you play?
I played snare. I was snare in the marching band.
So what drew you to it?
Well, really, I think, you know, when I was still in Gallenberg, Sevierville area, when I was really young, when I was like 6, my cousin and aunt, my aunt got a divorce and moved into the house with my parents, and my cousin, who was 3 years older than me, came in and I think her mom's boyfriend got her a keyboard, and I had never played with a musical instrument, but at that age I was just fascinated with the keyboard. And it was just really fun to me. Ever since then, I wanted piano lessons, and I just wanted to learn music.
So it went from piano to snare?
Well, yeah, well...
Well, you kind of beat on the keys. That's kind of percussion. Yeah. And well, you know, in the old days, piano was always put in the rhythm section.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I just wanted to make noise. And then my mom went out of town, and I convinced my dad to let me get a drum set. And he was like, well, I'm not buying it because your mom won't be into that because they're loud. But, you know, if you buy it yourself, I'm not going to stop you. So I just got everything I could get together and went to the pawn shop and got like a $300 pawn shop drum set.
And where'd you practice it?
Oh, yeah.
Where? Where?
Oh, in the garage. And my mom came home. And she's like, oh, it's the kids across the street. They must have gotten a drum set. That sucks. And then she came in and realized, oh, it's getting louder the more I get closer to home. And she's like, oh, fuck. He got one. And, yeah, and then that means that all the band practices happened at the drummer's house. So.
Right, right.
So, I mean, she had to deal with, I mean, shit, like 6 years of earth-shaking noise, because, of course, when you're that age, all the amps have to be all the way up.
Of course.
I think that's why I play like an asshole, because I'm just used to competing with amps with a shitty drum set, so now I just play really fucking hard.
I'm going to play one guitar here.
And the sealer camps, and the octopus crawl, and the nautilus fall, and the dolphins and the whale write your poetry, and sit on your salty do-nothing stool, you barnacle ghoul. Seaweed, beard, foam, bone, tree. Octopus, crawl up your salty blue wall. Tie your bows and polish your abalone. Seaweed bed foam bone tree. Seaweed bed foam bone tree.
some serious cuts. Next up to the heart. Take your mind open the window, it's a bit warm out here. Then you change it up and jump from up here down to that car park. That undue damage.
I got broken man. Now you got a tenable.
What's your fault?
Now you got a tenable.
Broken
hand. Now you got a tenable.
Broken face.
Now you got a tenable. That's all hard work.
Cats almost turned to tears. Poor his twisted body lying back in the tour, on the surface of the car park. I knew I'd see him again some day. And I would cheer on that day.
The blood of the blood,
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 the blood of the blood, I thought. I am an octomom, cosmic atomic bomb.
I was 14, Napster was a thing, you know, and we had the internet, and I just like started with Nirvana and went backwards, you know, and found that's how I found Minutemen. That's how I found the Germs. That's how I found
Don Bowles. No, yeah, was it the Bleach guy was it Dave Grohl?
Do what?
Because Dave Grohl ain't on the Bleach, right?
No, that's Chad Channing.
Yeah. So who's the guy you got into? Probably both, right?
I mean, both, yeah. I mean, well, you know, first it was like Nevermind that I heard, because that's what everyone knew.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just was a nerd about that shit. I wasn't really good at anything else than music, so when everyone else went out and skated or played sports, I just went home and played drums and got on my computer and researched music.
You know who started as a drummer, man? Jay Mascis.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And he told me he would practice George Hurley.
Really?
Yeah, what makes a man start fires, that kind of shit. Pretty amazing. But, yeah, musical guy. Well, you know, anytime you play, you're investing in the next time you play. So I don't think it's ever fucking wasted.
No.
You know what I mean? So, what about bands that were run by drummers?
Shit. Well, in what way?
Well, like Dave Grohl, right? He ends up, I mean, I know the first album he did by himself, and I think he redid drums on the next one.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Grant Hart did the same thing with After Husker, right? He plays guitar and sings, but, I mean, these are still drummer men. In fact, I've suggested to Steve Shelley, you know, I'm not even talking about composing, although that's another issue. But just running a band. Drummers, I think, make great band leaders because, for one thing, the rhythm is the heart. The other thing is they know what's fucking going on. They have to use every limb of their body.
Well, you know, drummers always book the tours, at least
okay,
in my experience.
Yeah, and a lot of them end up road managers and stuff. So bass players.
Well, I'm actually an agent now. That's what I do for work now.
Okay. So but what I'm saying is, you know what I mean, as far as, like, the rhythm, the heart, the drummer, you know, there's no denial there. The other thing is, you know, this was in the 60s with the drummers at Georgie, like, named Chico Hamilton. He couldn't get songwriting credit. Drummers can't write songs. Why? Bullshit.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
So you're bringing guys over the house in the garage after school, right? You're doing some teenage bands. What was like the what was the first one? Did you do gigs or were they just practice bands?
Well, what's funny is the band that is on your list, Royal Bangs.
Yeah.
That was the band that started in high school and actually was my, you know, career for a while. So Ryan, who fronted that band, I mean, we played music for half our lives together. When we stopped doing the band thing, he went on to do, he makes guitar pedals. He has a company called Hologram Electronics. Actually, I wouldn't call them guitar pedals. They're like an everything pedal.
Yeah.
But I mean, we played music together for life, essentially. And then everything else was just kind of everything else. But we met
you went to school with each other.
We were both on the drum line.
You went to school with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
we met each other, and then we both dropped out of high school band. And then we started our own band.
Okay. We're going to play them in the last hour. I guess I'm backwards here. Oh, shit. Playing the first shit last. But can you remember the first Royal Bangs gig?
Yeah, it was terrible. We played like a friend's barbecue when we were 15.
Like backyard, kegger?
Yeah, that kind of thing. And we were so fucking nervous. I dropped my sticks like 3 times.
Now, what kind of stuff? Were you copying songs, or did you guys...
Oh, yeah, we were copying Pavement, and, okay. You know, we liked the Strokes. The Strokes just came out then, so we liked the Strokes.
But there's a lot of guys I've had on the show, especially from these times, they just started writing songs right away. Now, that was real regular for me, D. Boone, Georgie in the 70s. Everybody copied off records. But it seems like people down the road... Because of the movement, more courage to try and write your own songs early.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was funny is Ryan was really into, Neil Young and Rolling Stones. And I just wanted to play shit like Black Flag and Minor Threat.
Yeah.
So it was somewhere in between there, which was interesting. We kind of just met in the middle. He liked the... He wasn't as aggressive as I was, but so he's trying to play like pretty songs with me hammering all over it. Well, but that can be good.
Yeah, contrast, right? Now, since we're going to play some songs, you guys, was this the first recording you did?
No, this stuff's a little later. Stuff that I put on this list is when we were kind of more in our touring stage and actually putting out records and shit.
What was your first recording? It's like a 4-track?
No, we used Logic, I think.
A computer, okay.
Yeah, we had, yeah, so, I mean, this is, I'm 34, so this is like 20 years ago. We had, the basic version of Logic then.
Sure. Shit, even GarageBand, right? I had a guy on the show, he made a whole album on his fucking leash with GarageBand. It wasn't even like a crap top or a desktop, you know, it was a fucking leash.
Yeah, no, that's the thing now, like, people in their early 20s that I know that play music, Ryan was always the one that recorded. I didn't have enough patience to learn. I did have a Tascam 4-track that I did play with on my own and wrote my own stuff when I was 14, but...
What about electronic drums? You ever think about electronic drum?
I did fuck with Ableton and like making beats and stuff like that for fun.
Like sequencer shit.
Yeah.
Because the guys, you know, Kraftwerk had 2 drummers.
Right.
And they, you know, there came a time when it was all sequencers, but at first they actually played those motherfuckers.
Right.
I got to see them a few times, and every time I saw them, they were laughing. You know, they had this kind of weird, mannequin thing, but there was also this laughing. You could tell they were having a good time.
Yeah.
And stuff. You know, compared to, like you were saying, your first gig, like with Royal Bangs, or like when I first started on... Still, I get so fucking scared I have to get in front of people. And it's like reading a report in class or some shit. And very difficult.
You know, I did eventually get over it. I don't know. I had embarrassed myself enough in front of people to where I just kind of didn't worry about it anymore. I got that licked, and by the time I was 20 or 21, I'd say.
So, like your vaudeville thing, you know, you work the room and just... Did you, like not look around, like you just hunker down and focus?
Wink
at the girls or shit like...
No, I like the attention now.
Okay.
No, I still love playing.
Okay. Yeah. No, the hard part about drums, besides playing them, is setting up and tearing down, right? I got one for my practice pad because it just took so fucking long. So I had Perkins, yeah. Steve Perkins, because he's with the DW people, took me to Oxnard, and he got me one of these kits, and I just, yeah, it's always there. They can just jump right on.
Yeah.
You know, with the bass stuff, they've made a lot smaller and lighter. They got to get that going with the drums. It seems like in some ways the hardware got really big and heavy.
Well, you know, that's why later on in some of these bands, I'm playing guitar and bass.
Yeah.
I kind of, you know, the older I got and
less
the
younger,
bands
less
started,
younger.
I was like, you know what, I don't want to play drums. I want to play something where I don't have to carry as much shit.
All the shit, right, yeah. And you can imagine bass amps and stuff, but the technology there, they've been getting the shit smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of, like, the DW hardwares, you know, there's so much with the memory locks. But Hodge, he plays stuff from the 60s.
Yeah.
And it's a lot lighter and smaller, but then you can't be too rough on it. Not too much bam-bam. It'll snap a toe.
Well, you know, when I first started, I had a bunch of cymbals and, you know, I had three toms and all that shit. When I saw Deerhoof play at the Pilot Light,
oh, yeah, Greg.
When I was like 18 or 20 or something, when I saw Greg play and he had a bass drum, a snare drum, and one cymbal.
Yeah.
And then he sat on a fucking milk crate.
Yeah.
And had like a tambourine strapped to the bass drum. When I saw him play that, I immediately took away my toms and took away most of my cymbals. I was like, fuck that. I don't need this shit. Like,
I recorded an album with
that,
him.
It's like, I want to do that.
I recorded an album with him and he had these 22 inch hi-hats. Like the bottom one had to have holes in it because it wouldn't fucking close.
Yeah, right. No, but yeah, that was life changing for me seeing
he's
a
great.
Drummer that could play with so little.
Also, he's deep in all kinds of music, not just the drum set, but coming from a drummer thing. That's why I'm saying it's a unique kind of place in the band. It's been put down. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, May 27, 2020, the Schwab Pedro Show. Special guest Chris Russ. Hold tight for hour two. May 27, 2020. It's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro Show.
Peace and love. dribbling down the drain. Spread across the wall, left in blood.
I can get away with this. We cut to about 3:30 in the a.m. in my bedroom, which is about the perfect time and place to do this song, I guess. There's nobody else around but the microphone. This is my change of someone else's arrangement of a Robert Johnson song called 3220 Blues. It's about a gun, 3220 caliber gun. I don't think they make them any in handguns anymore, at least, I don't know. They build it on a 45 frame, shoot down a car, shoot down anything. It's real phallic. Gonna ventilate my woman if I catch her with another man. My baby gets unruly, decides she don't wanna do. My baby gets unruly, decides she don't wanna do. Got a 3220 and drill her through and gonna shoot my gal and go. Takes 3220 to lay my baby low. Bye.
た会いましょう。いつか どこかで
Pedro Show, second hour, start off. Well, before I tell you what we started saying, let me tell you what I played the last block of music, the last hour. One guitar, Midnight Bomber, What Bombs at Midnight. Kay Salida with Le Sextet. Kay from Black Flag. Seaweed Beard, Foam Bone Tree. From Cat Beefheart. Bilge Pump out of Leeds, England. Dour Hog Wax. Two guitars from Midnight Bomber, What Bombs at Midnight. Kariki, Clean Kill. This is the new album, Ian MacKay and his wife Amy and Joe Lally. Strike Slip after that. This is a brand new band with John Jones from the Urinals, John Talley Jones, and Chemtrails. Super Session, early mix from their album. This Thing Called Love, that's Raymond Pettibone. With Ricky Spalvada, Ray Farrell, and Raul Morales Central. And then Octomom with Tim John. And then the second hour here, we had X Gold doing Assembly Line, The Loyalists, Rainbow Pod Meets, 12-6 from Herman Gray, 32-20 Blues, Peter Laughter, Mata Aymasho from Few, and then Tuning It Out, X Gold. What was X Gold, Chris?
X Gold is Sam and I from Royal Bangs. We made that band kind of at the end of Royal Bangs' career. I was, the band was ending. I was going through a divorce, dropped out of college to be in a band, so it was kind of a dark time, kind of everything hitting at once. So we made a band where we just kind of went back to being 14, writing punk songs like as if we were 14.
Yeah.
And, I was playing guitar, and I'm singing. Me and Sam are both singing. But I guess I just wanted a band that just kind of reverted to that time.
And what was it like going from drums to guitar? Well, yeah, carrying shit's a lot easier.
Yeah, carrying shit is a lot easier. I'd always kind of played a little bit of everything. I was just always better at drums.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I was put. I don't know. That band was just, feeling out the time in my life, I guess.
Yeah, like kind of therapy rock?
Yeah, I'd say so, having to work in a restaurant after being in a touring band because you don't know what the fuck to do and then you're getting divorced.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of what that was.
Yeah, they got these kind of, I got one in the boat, in my Econoline. It's kind of rubbery shit. You can squeeze it really hard without ruining it. And
yeah,
kind of gets the stress out.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was.
You were writing songs. So you wrote on the guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah. At first I kind of mostly wrote everything. Originally the band started off with me and three other dudes that worked in the restaurant with me that had never been in a band.
Wow.
And that was kind of the requirement. Like, they couldn't really know what they were doing.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I wanted. And, how it started.
What can you say? Blank canvas.
Yeah, yeah. And then, the other guitar player, he quit because he got too drunk to play the show. And then Sam kind of just jumped in.
When you say the show, there was one gig?
Well, yeah, I mean, we played a few gigs.
Okay.
And then there was one in particular where he was just he just couldn't do it. So he dropped out, and then Sam's a really good guitar player, so then he joined, and then it kind of turned into a different thing from there. But originally it started off as it was important that no one really knew what they were doing too much.
Well, it seems like Sam, I mean, the dude's available. You can call him, and here comes the fireman with the fucking hook and ladder.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's good to have a cat like that. I've got people like that in my life. No, I mean, Bucket Brigade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Life's
I just
notion.
Told him, like, it's got to stay dumb.
Yeah.
That was the important thing.
And Shy Boys.
Yeah, that's That's my buddy Brandon Biondo. He was also in Royal Bangs for the second record.
Okay.
And that's mostly his stuff, and I played drums on it. I think at the time, though, I was... it was kind of around the same time, and I think I was drinking quite a bit. I think he had to I had to play those really easy drum parts a few times. it was a dark time.
Okay. let's play Ride, okay?
Thank you. Oh, I can smile, I can make you call, however.
up for Pedro show. That was Ride from the Shy Boys. I Can't Get No Ride from Barons Whitfield the Savages. Caram after that. Barons, he's out of Boston or a town near there. I think it's called Berkeley, but it's in the Boston area. And then we got three tracks from Cats in Canada. Caram with Shinvat Bridge. Chris Burns with Applesauce and the Extract with Octagon. We should put that by Octomom. Senor Al from South London with Rue Garal. And then finally Julia from the Shy Boys. So maybe that should have been the Dry Boys. I mean, it was kind of a wet, little wet brain.
I was. Brandon, he does all kinds of shit. He's a Knoxville guy who I've been playing music on and off with forever too. And like I said, he was in Royal Bangs on the second record, but
yeah.
He has a lot of projects and he just kind of changes the band names according to what fits, I think.
You mean the cast of characters?
No, it's him most of the time.
Oh, okay. Well, you said band members.
I think he is mostly the band member, sometimes he just lets me play on his stuff.
Well, there's some bands, I know, like Mr. Kago in Tokyo with Cornelius, like he'll make the album, but then he needs a band to do gigs.
Right. I'd put Brandon in that category.
Okay, yeah. Kind of. And so, like, you're there to aid and assist, but in a way it was kind of good, too, because of the, like you said, the side stuff going on in your life.
Yeah.
But that's trippy, the idea of getting cats who ain't never been in a band. What was that like? Was it tough?
A little bit, but it was...
But maybe not, right? Because they don't know what to do. They defer to you every time, right?
Yeah, and that was fun because, you know, you just say, just do it. Don't give them direction and just see what happens. I love doing that. That's kind of the thing with Temp Job. The ladies that sing on that song, I had met, they're a lot younger. They're in their early 20s, and this band happened like 2 years ago. But I just saw him doing a hip-hop thing in town, and I had never met him before, never talked to him in my life, and I just went up to him, like, hey, do you want to be in a band? And they're like, I don't know. Who's this old dude? And luckily, they called me back, and then I'm playing bass in that band. I just, like, had the drummer and me with them and played the songs, and by the time I finished the song, I was showing them on drums and bass, they had already written all the words.
Wow.
And, yeah, they're amazing.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's dudes these days that are songwriting really early, you know, much different than how, you know, us Minutemen guys. It was all copying. It impresses me about how people got balls out to start songwriting really early. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You're with that end of the second hour, May 27, 2020, edition of Wapito Show. Special guest Chris Russ, hold tight for hour three. May 27, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
You are.
Walk Pedro Show. Start the third hour off with Caps doing Geography, Faster Than Time Itself, from Crane. And I guess this guy spent some time in the band. Yes, Patrick Mares. He lived up on the hill. Andre Vita out of Berlin with 202B. Timothy Erie. Yeah, baby, all right. Zigzags, we're going to fight. A lot of dimension to that one. And finally, Caps and Bubblegum. Where does Caps fit in?
So Caps, that's another band I play guitar in.
Is Sam just, there?
That's just me and some local Knoxville people. Actually, okay. Cece is in that band. I think she was supposed to do a show with you, but she lost her phone, and she doesn't really use technology. So I think that has something to do with it.
Okay. Yeah, I think Mike Pagetta was setting it up, because I got four or five other people from Knoxville in the next. Okay, so that's Caps.
Okay. Yeah.
And so these days, you said you're doing agent stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I am. As much as you can right now.
I didn't mean, the Quentin Quarantino pandemic mode, but how long ago did you start getting into this agent thing?
It was 6 years ago.
Okay, so
I started doing it.
So you had a good 5 years without, the nightmares. And so yeah. How do you compare from being the man in the van with the drumstick in the hand to the man outside the van with the phone in his hand?
Mm-hmm. It's quite different. I feel like I kind of wish I could go back and realize more of what was going on now that I know. We had a great agent when we were doing our thing.
You're talking about when you were a drummer man only.
Yeah.
You knew what you knew now. Okay.
But, I love everyone I work with. I enjoy doing it. I like playing music for fun now.
But I got to tell you, though, Chris, there's not a lot of dudes doing agent work that have band experience work.
So that's true.
In a way,
that's
they can't relate. You know what I mean? They got a map on the bulkhead and the phone on the desk, and they're putting little pins. And they're not making the hell rides. They're not, you know what I mean, where you've been there. So in a way, I would call that experience a fucking bitching asset.
Oh, I agree. I mean, there are those agents that were in bands for sure, and it's easier to talk to them. But there are definitely those agents that are just total bros that went to school and they could be selling vacuums or they could be selling bands and
socks.
It's very easy to find them because they're usually wearing like a lot of jock shit. I think it is good. I have a much easier time connecting with bands than I think dudes that were not in a band do.
And here's another easy way. You look at the fucking routing they come up with, and if it looks like a goddamn spider web instead of a loop.
Well, that goes both ways, though, because I was in that band, and sometimes I'm like, this sucks, but... You know, this is part of it. Like you're gonna need to do this, and I know it sucks. So maybe it's that I feel for them when I have to have them do that 8 to 9 hour drive.
You know, Portland to the other Portland.
Oh God, yeah. More like just like the, the West Coast, man. It's not easy to route.
Dude, I live out here.
Yeah, so you know.
People are telling me, why you always playing Boise? I said, look at
that
fucking map.
Well,
why are you always playing Salt Lake City? Look at a map. There is ways to do loops, though, without backtracking. But it is hard, and it takes a lot of coordination between the promoter and the agent man. I think there's art in it, just as much as like coming up with a good bass part or to go with the kick drum.
There is. And the thing is, too, is... One of the other hard parts is getting from the east side of the states to the west side of the states without going through Texas twice. And then you've got fucking Kansas. You got to do the Kansas City to Denver is kind of all you got.
Well, there's also you could do the Platte way and go to Omaha.
Right, you can do that.
But, you could. You know. I have several times.
I have. You call
Torin more than a month. I've done 68 of them now. So at least 68 more to go. Look, I want to play Brainbow.
Yeah.
Great title.
We'll be right back. In a moment, down further on the couch, oblivious to the noise around, were a few moments of grace that revealed common ground and a need for understanding. Troubles negotiated freely toward an imaginative truth, a chance agreement in the conversation, a small miracle in the petri dish. Just this one time talking and dragging things down a little, digging out a little trouble and attempting to solve the world's problems. Have a nice time talking, who knows where it may end, by giving it some meaning already, leading these things on linguistically and actually doing good by this, talking your way out of a hole and coming up with something that would result in a handshake, and therefore, you did it for today.
Soft shoe portion of the program. It goes like this. Well, hateful fascists, got you. Take two. Well, hateful fascists, got you down. Just turn that frown upside down. It's a beautiful day to say. Fuck you. Feeling hopeless? Feeling lost? That's alright. Two simple words can cover the cost. It's a beautiful day to say. Fuck you. Well, it's divide and conquer. And it's always been that way. You can try to love everyone and you'll have a shitty day. You don't have to love them, but you don't have to hate them, cause you just fucking let them be. The government's a shadow, it's all a fucking scam, but deep down you're free. So scumbag fascists got you down. It's alright, you can turn that frown upside down. It's a beautiful day to say fuck you. Feeling hopeless, feeling lost, it's alright. Two simple words can cover the cost, my friend. It's a beautiful day to say fuck you, yeah. Well, let's divide and conquer. And it's always been this way. You can try to love everyone and you'll have a terrible day. You don't have to love them, but you don't have to hate them. Could you just let them be? The government's a shadow. Shadow, capital S-C-A-M. That's what it is. But deep down, motherfucker, you're free to say fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Come on, say fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh, fuck you. Come on. Fuck you, you goddamn motherfucking douchebag, piece of shit, pain in the ass, scumbag, pinhead motherfucker.
Bob Rapido Show. Last music for this edition, Royal Bangs, where it all started for Chris here. And Sam, Brainbow. Rainbow, I should say. It's great. Soul of Jesus, have that bit and wool. The deep end of the conversation, Joe Brewer. Bark, out of Knoxville there, originally Mississippi. But Gator Lake Road, in fact, Oxford. One day I got to play that town. Ole Miss. Old Man Fuck You, that's Steve Giganti, who served aboard the good ship Deer Hoof.
I love that man.
Old Man Fuck You. This guy can play some guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's pretty witty with the lyric. It's a beautiful day to say fuck you.
Yeah, Jason Boardman and Steve and I did an impromptu show at Pyolite last year. Jason and I played drums, and Steve played, I think, like a two-string bass or something. And then we had our friend Monica, who had never been in a band or sang on stage before. She sang. It went really well. Actually, you know what? That show that we played, that impromptu show where we'd never played before.
Yeah.
That's when Mike Baghetta saw me play for the first time. And that's when he asked me to play on some of those songs that you play on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, that's called the law of unintended consequences.
Yeah. Okay. It's all full circle.
I tell you, that the little philosophy I gave you about whenever you play, you're invested in the next time you play. You never fucking know, right?
Yeah.
That's why people, like, don't give a shit. They're wrong.
Man, I liked playing those songs.
Life's only a... Oh, yeah. Mike writes some good shit. Henry Kaiser with Alvaro Domene. El Tren Fantasma, part 1 of 5. It's another... five-parter we're going to hear the next 5 weeks. And finally, the Royal Bangs with Fireball. When I was a boy, there was a show called from England called Fireball XL5. And it was these puppets. There was different versions of it. One was called Thunderbirds. You know what I'm talking about? These fucking space and shit. These little puppets. You see the, you know, the wires and shit and the big eyebrows. And they never showed the legs because that was really fucked up and stuff. So what do you got planned? What are you doing in the meantime right now, Chris, because of the situation?
Booking 2021.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, moving things from this year to next year, essentially. Sure.
And what do you think? Venues are going to handle gigs different? They're going to have a lower capacity, so more spread around, space in between?
You know, no one really knows, and that's the thing is... you know, when South by Southwest canceled, I moved. I have this one artist, Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. It's like outlaw country stuff.
Yeah, no, I played them on the show. Bloodshot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's
Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, well, or she's out of Raleigh, but they're on Bloodshot.
Yeah.
Out of Chicago. So I rerouted her March tour as soon as South by Southwest canceled. I rerouted it for July. And then 2 months later, I'm rerouting it again. You know, so basically what I'm doing is I'm booking shows and then canceling them again and then rebooking them and then
it's like you're trying to dance on a carpet that's being pulled out from under you.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
But, you know, I admire you for to keep on pushing, you know, not throwing your hands in the air.
No, and a lot of people, I mean, like at the big agencies, like Paradigm and... whatnot, like, I mean, so many people have been laid off.
Yeah.
Like, huge agents have been laid off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm just a small fry, so luckily I don't have much overhead. I can just keep going.
Well, there might be something to learn in that.
Overhead.
You know what I mean? We see things are going okay, and then we got no plan B, and then when something goes heavy, Chris, it's been a great, great honor to have you on the show. Thanks so much. You're going to have sticks in your hand, guitars in your hand, and that phone to book gigs.
That's right.
The man outside the van. You know, very important cat. Steve Pell, I've had the same agent for 33 years. He's just beautiful when you got that really understands. Yeah. But thanks for being on the show. And any new music you got, please come on. Well, let's talk about it, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, people, it's been May 27, 2020 edition. Wow, for Pedro, she'll keep your powder dry.